This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Are you ready?
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
You all know exactly who I am.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Good afternoon, sports mappers. Welcome to the fray. It's The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. If you are a suspect, then you've been with us since 1 o'clock on ESPN 97.5, but now's about the time that we bring 94.1 along for the ride. So it's Barry, it's Joel, Nick is out today, Tyler is in, as we have been rolling on. If you missed any of the first 2 hours of the show, we encourage you to hit up ESPN975.com or Podcast Arena and check out what you missed.
Indeed. Somebody said Boston baked beans and are...
There's a recipe.
Yeah. Boston baked beans are made with molasses and salt pork. That's just baked beans.
I tend to agree with you.
And Tyler's argument was, well, they started in Boston, but no one... You just say baked beans.
We don't call all beer Milwaukee beer. You it started in Milwaukee.
The example I gave is you don't call it Italian spaghetti. You just say spaghetti. You don't have to say, because when you say Boston baked beans, I assume you are implying the candy. Otherwise, you just say baked beans.
So you go to a lot of barbecue restaurants. They always have beans like this on the menu, right?
Yes.
Baked beans.
And no one down here is going to call them Boston baked beans.
Right.
So that's probably why you're associating with the candy and not with this type of bean.
Exactly. So H-Town Blue can go to hell.
But do you think across the nation, say in the Midwest,
they're baked beans?
They're baked beans as well.
I think in Boston, they call them Boston baked beans. Everywhere else, it's just baked beans.
Until you get cut off by somebody.
True. But H-Town Blue said, Barry, love you, man, but you're overthinking it. They're called baked beans for a reason. Candy or beans aside. What?
I don't know.
I think he's implying that the cooking method.
Get out of here, H-Town Blue. You have no idea. All right, I got a baseball question for you.
Thank God.
Are you ready for this?
Not a moment too soon.
Do you want to do John's call and then do the baseball question? Because he's got a little college football question for us.
Sure. John, right, we're going to bring you in before we get into some baseball.
Shortest wait time at 3 o'clock on Sports Map.
On a Tuesday.
Yes. What's up, John?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
So just a curious question, man. You know, with UT kind of having the struggles that they're having at the moment, how long, you know, will it be before they light that fire under his ass the same way that they did Charlie Strong? Also, I had one more comment about whatever's happened with Colin Kaepernick and Nike. You know, with all these people burning their Nike gear, why not donate all of that to the millions of veterans that they claim to fake care about? I'll hang up.
Amen.
Yep. Great point.
Hey. John Wessling brought up that. We talked about that in hour number one, and it's been a point that several people have had.
Yep.
But if you love veterans, and we this country has a problem with homeless, we don't take care of our veterans like we should. There's a lot of veterans that are on the streets give them the clothes if you love them that much. It's a great point, John.
Yep.
To the point of Herman and Charlie Strong, I see where you're angling at, and listen, it's about football at the end of the day. To me, it's about football, and I think it won't take long for Herman to be on the hot seat if he continues to fall.
What Charlie Strong get? 4 years? Did he get four?
I'll look it up.
Because you know how he's constantly, since he got to Austin, has talked about getting his class, his recruits, his type players into his
2014
system.
To 2016.
I was going to say what's fair is, but I thought Charlie got four would be equal to and or give him a couple years to get a recruiting class in for 4 years, get all of his recruits in across the board. 4 years is normally fair for a college football coach, but I see where he's going as well, that if Charlie didn't get a full four, obviously that performance was ridiculous against Maryland.
Yeah, pretty bad, and I don't know. Expectations are high, but I think AJ said it best on Twitter that Texas still doesn't have a quarterback, and no, they don't. And I don't know why that would surprise anyone. You kind of knew going in that you didn't have a quarterback. I think that they just felt like Herman would be able to be some quarterback.
But that's where my discussion came earlier that I told you about. I was having with my buddies I play hoops with, Michigan and Texas. You can recruit your ass off across the board, except the quarterback position.
Yeah.
And the guy, my buddies were talking about, when's the last time a Texas quarterback, besides what? I mean, Colt McCoy? You know, I mentioned that Chris Sims at least had a cup of coffee in the NFL. But yeah, since Vince Young, and even after Vince Young had the one big year, his rookie year, but overall, Texas should have, I mean, there should just be everyone. And think about the kids coming out of Westlake and all the different schools, Drew Breeses and all the big time quarterbacks that end up going somewhere else doing big things, as well as Texas recruits across the board. Otherwise, man, they should have their pick. They should be three quarterbacks to choose from, taking the best one and the other two saying, you know, you could be like Alabama, or you could be, you know, in similar situations where you've got A&M's had big names coming out of high school. They just haven't panned out.
No, A&M is...
They all transfer out.
No, or they crap the bed.
So I think Mac kind of screwed UT because once they changed coaches, then that kind of screwed the whole recruiting process, and they can't get guys to commit for a new coach that isn't Mac Brown. And I think that kind of messed up. They're basically starting from scratch at that point. They don't have...
That's why I said you got to give a new coach, because the first year's a wash. Because like you said, whoever's already there is already disillusioned and disgruntled because the fact that their guy's not going to be there, and that's why they committed to go there in the first place.
Right.
Right? So then you got to try and resurrect the recruiting and also get players, if you're changing to play a different system or the way you want to play on both sides of the football, maybe that changes the way you recruit. So that's why I'm saying, and then for kids that you hope and expect to play 4 years there, it's a 4-year window, but that first year is really tough because you're starting completely over. So, but again, because expectations are so high in Austin, they're not always going to give you that full 4 years.
Here's the bad news, and we discussed this yesterday a little bit on the show, but Texas could be going into the Baylor game, which I think they'll beat Baylor. They could be going into the Baylor game having played Maryland, Tulsa, USC, TCU, K-State, and Oklahoma. They could be a 2-win team halfway through the year. When you think about this, they're going to beat Tulsa, all right? So they'll be 1-1. They'll probably lose to USC, 1-2.
Yep.
Probably lose to TCU the way that they're playing.
They're playing good, yeah.
1-3. K-State, it's going to be a
I'll give them that one.
So they're 2-3. They'll probably lose to Oklahoma. So they're 2-4 going into Baylor.
They should win.
Beat Baylor. Oklahoma State, I don't know that they can beat Oklahoma State.
I'm not sure they can either.
West Virginia, not going to beat West Virginia. Going to beat Tech. Going to beat Iowa State and Kansas. But you're talking about basically what? 4, 5, 6 wins? 7 wins?
Less than 500.
Best? 7 wins at best, unless they sneak up on one of these ranked teams or Oklahoma State. It's going to be bad, man. It is going to be interesting because people are already asking those questions after week one. What's the leash on Tom Herman? Is he on the hot seat? You know
who else?
Here's the thing. If the fans, if Longhorn fans are asking, is Tom Herman on the hot seat? Guess what? He's on the hot seat. If your fan base is pissed off, if your fan base is disgruntled, it doesn't matter what the university or the athletic department thinks. If the fans aren't happy, your coach is kind of on the hot seat.
Guess who else? Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Crap the bet against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And look at the fact that two guys that are notoriously big name recruiters, big name, big, you know, attitude type guys in Tom Herman and Jim Harbaugh, if you can't recruit the quarterback position, and you can't win against your rivals and against big-time games on a national stage against ranked opponents, you're going to be short-lived in that kind of environment. It's a pressure cooker, and you got to rise to the top. And you get a pass the first year or so, but after a while, like you said, Barry, when the fan base starts catching on, going, hey, the honeymoon's over, and you ain't giving me the love that I need,
yeah,
they're going to show you the door sooner than later. Look, Harbaugh will end up back in the NFL.
Oh, sure.
He'll find another job. But it's just like we're talking about Kevin Sumlin, too. Doing it at U of H is a totally different ballgame than doing it on that level of college football.
So Matthew said UT has a kid coming next spring. Roshan Johnson is a four-star phenom QB. Pretty much every QB out of Texas that's four stars is labeled a phenom, and 90% of them don't pan out.
Well, they don't pan out there. Right?
Yeah.
Like I said, or A&M. Because look at that. Think about it a couple years ago when A&M had 3 5-star quarterbacks going there and all three didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just expect
just because
one quarterback to change your program around. You have to recruit every single position.
And we can get Lance Zierlein on to validate this, but I guarantee you, if you talk to these folks that know about how recruiting works and the ratings for recruitings, they don't mean they're garbage. People get paid to
literally
get paid to give high school recruits better ratings because these schools know that they're recruiting them. And then they're like, oh, well, if our recruiting class looks better, our alumni is happy, the kids want to come and play for us. So don't put a ton of stock into ratings for recruits across the board. Now, some of these guys that maybe are a 5-star blue chip, number one in the country, those guys, you know, tend to be elite football players.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start talking about 3- and 4-star recruits that are you know, touted as phenoms, be careful because a lot of those cats are probably not.
It's anybody that does those kind of things, they're still trying to make money,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
So Mel Kiper Jr., the whole tag on him a couple years ago was he was on the take that, hey, he would promote a certain agent's guys and say that these guys are can't miss and first round and this, that, and the other thing because he took a little something on the side.
Yeah. Somebody texted, Sam Ellinger destroyed Drew Brees and Nick Foles' records at Westlake High School. Yeah, and look what that got him.
He's
a loss versus Maryland.
Right now.
Yeah.
So, you win.
Maybe he's responsible for as many losses as Brees and Foles when they played Texas. If they did, I don't know. But that could be true.
Ridiculous.
All right, we'll get to the baseball question after the break.
We'll get to the baseball question. Talk to the Astros. Still got Texans coming up against the Patriots. Plenty more to get to. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the big show. SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. It's the usual suspects. It's Barry, it's Joel. Tyler doing a great job filling in for Nick. We appreciate him. AJ Hoffman's already in the building, so therefore, you know, he and Jong and Fred will take you home on the Blitz. Same channels, same way.
All right, so let's get to some baseball and this baseball question right out the chute because we've been teasing it. But somebody texted and said, who would you choose between Alex Bregman and Javi Baez? Both have a hell of a season. Baez numbers are a bit better, but who would you choose? So I'll let you go first because this question came up yesterday and we discussed it at the break. But who would you choose between Baez and Francisco Lindor And I said Lindor, but so if you want to chime in on that one as well.
Yeah, I tend to think just because of productivity over a bigger body of work and sample size, I would take Lindor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what, man. I mean, they're great questions because it's great that Alex Bregman is in the same conversation as these two quality all-star players.
Right.
Baez is phenomenal. I don't think he's going to have season after season like he's putting together this year with 100 ribbies and big bomb after big bomb. And the defense is just off the charts. But again, Bregman, a shortstop converted to play third, plays the hot corner like nobody's business. So it's a tough call. The only thing I would say is, again, consistency over time has me leaning towards Baez.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great conversation to have knowing Bregman's in it.
It is a great conversation. And I feel like Baez's defense is probably better than Alex Bregman's at the plate. I think that they're trending. They're about a year apart.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at them statistically, Bregman is on the same trend as Baez.
Is Baez a year older?
Yeah. So Bregman is 24. That's another reason why you might consider taking him if you had to
right.
pick between the two. Baez is 25 and change. But it's crazy. Just looking at like home run productivity, right, and RBIs. So their first full season, and I'm not talking like Bregman, his first year he came up, he played 49 games. But we'll forget that. He played 155 and he's played 135 this year. So in his first couple of seasons, he's gone 19 home runs, 71 RBIs. He's now at 28 and 89, by far eclipsing what he did. Baez was kind of similar than that. When you start looking at his first full season, which was 2016, he had the 14 home runs and 59 RBIs. Then he went 2375. He's now sitting at 3100. So that trend that Baez is on a year in advance of what Bregman is doing, but it's very similar. I just think the difference to me is the defense. I think Bregman plays spectacular defense at third, but I don't think it's in the same class as what Baez does.
I think
does.
Bregman, everything in front of him, he's outstanding.
Yeah.
I think where Baez really excels is in two different areas. One, with his back to the plate. He covers a ton of ground in the short outfield positions. With his back to the home plate, can make phenomenal glove, has phenomenal glove work. And the other thing is his tags at second base and the way he can make a bad throw into an out at second base is they're ridiculous.
Yeah, you're right. And there's been highlights of that. And they've talked about that ad nauseum on some broadcast when he's playing, and it's unbelievable what that guy does. What was it? Was it the World Series when or it was the playoffs when he made the tag at second base and he was pointing
to the catcher already saying great throw.
He didn't have the ball
yep.
in his glove yet, and he's already pointing at the catcher like, hey, good throw, and then he tags the guy out. That's next level.
The art when they say an infielder, let the ball come to you, he has epitomized, because he just keeps going, his glove keeps going backwards as the ball's not even there yet.
Yeah.
So when it hits the pocket of the glove or the webbing, he's already got the tag on the runner.
Ridiculous.
It's fantastic.
Jared Taylor, by the way, chimed in, and then we'll talk Astros. But he said real quick, for Boston, for food to the texter earlier, go buy Modern Pastry for the cannolis. Take cash, though. A lot of places in Boston are old school and only take cash. So there you go.
They're not just showing old school that way either.
What's that?
They're not just old school in that way
they're
either.
They're old school in their language.
And their color barriers.
Well, yeah, that's true. All right, Astros. I didn't get to watch yesterday's game. We were on air.
I did.
But they rolled.
Yep.
4-1, no Altuve in the lineup. Do you like the fact that Altuve and Bregman got switched in the order? Any issue with that?
I get it that Altuve's been scuffling a little
uh-huh.
bit over the last week or so.
Last seven games, I think he's like 160-ish.
Yeah. What really tipped it up, and Blummer was great about this, was the fact when he was trying to lay down a sacrifice bunt, when normally that was just wheelhouse, like, you've got to throw strikes to me and I'm going to capitalize.
Mm-hmm.
And he twice tried to lay down a bunt the other day, and it was like, okay, there's a sign that mentally it's getting to him now.
Yeah.
That's something. And I get what AJ's doing, because Bregman's been the hot bat. I mean, look no further than, again, another bomb. Who'd have thought before the season Bregman was going to sniff 20, let alone 30 bombs?
Yeah, and be, and basically, I think it's safe to say, and I don't think it's crazy to say, he's carried this team. I mean, he has been the most consistent Astro. He's been the guy that when they needed big hits, he's come up with them. Now, Tyler White, over the last, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, has just been ridiculous as well when it comes to clutch hits late in games. But Alex Bregman has done it all year.
you know what, again, another stretch that no one would have been on that bandwagon before the season if you just said Alex Bregman is your most valuable player for the Houston Astros for 2018.
Crazy, crazy.
No one would have been on that bandwagon. And then to say
he might have been your fifth choice. Think about that.
Yeah.
You're going to start with Altuve.
Altuve. Correa. Everybody Correa. Thought this was his year to just break out.
Verlander.
Springer.
Springer. And then you could, you know, those five right there, and then you can even talk about Cole or something.
I was going to say, the way Garrett Cole has pitched.
But McCullers, after the postseason that he had, there was a lot of guys that could have been potential MVP-type guys ahead of Alex Bregman.
So far-fetched just to say that he would be most valuable player of the team, but now almost a shoe-in to be top five in the MVP balloting at the end of the year for the American League.
That's pretty crazy, too.
Right?
Yeah. I was just looking it up to see who the leaders are on the team in home runs, RBIs. Alex Bregman, 28 leads the team, and 89 RBIs leads the team. So, getting it done everywhere.
Verlander on the hill tonight.
Yeah.
A chance to, again, capitalize on the Twins. Because, again, the A's aren't going anywhere. A's beat the Yankees yesterday 6-3.
It's amazing, man. I can't believe what those cats are doing out there in Oakland. I just...
Boy, to resurrect a guy like Edwin Jackson...
Yeah.
13 different major league teams, and the dude looks like an all-star with the A's.
It's like what Matt Kemp did this year.
Yeah.
Matt Kemp really has a nice, boy, again, a Dodger team that people were writing off to start the weekend. Matt Kemp has a game-winning home run one day, a walk-off double the next day, both off of Archie Bradley. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, now everybody, all the articles today are Dodgers in the driver's seat. They're going to win the division. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that's...
You and I have had this discussion back and forth. I still thought at the end of the day, the Dodgers would end up winning the division. I had my serious doubts.
Well, they're a half game
going
back
into the
now.
Weekend. Yeah.
I mean, even after yesterday, Rockies, you know, three wins in a row. That's the thing about baseball is it's so... like, momentum really doesn't matter. Like, you can go in and sweep a series. Look at this. The Astros get swept by the A's at home, or they get...
Mariners.
You know, the Mariners, I mean... It can happen, and then you go out and you win six in a row. And that's the same thing. I mean, the fact that the Dodgers are 8-2 over their last 10, but the fact that they just lost and the Rockies have won three in a row, the Rockies find themselves a half game up on the Dodgers.
And the other interesting thing is if you don't win the division in the NL West, you don't go to the playoffs right now because the Brewers and the Cardinals are playing such good baseball behind the Cubs that they're the two wild cards.
Yeah. We know the Cubs are pretty much a lock. They're making the playoffs no matter what.
One way or another, they're getting in.
That's how it is in the AL. It's West and East.
Yeah,
there's really no
race.
Yeah,
you're right, other than the Indians.
There's no race in the AL. I mean, it's all but over. In fact, if you look at on ESPN, there's a cool thing to do if you're just like box score hunting in the morning, killing time, pooping, whatever. Pull this up on your phone. I mean, you know.
I ain't got time for that.
They don't have time to poop.
No, not take an hour-long poop.
They'll show you, if you go to ESPN and just look at the standings on the MLB, they'll show you the playoff percentages. Right now, Boston 99.9, Yankees 99.9, Cleveland 99.9, Astros 99.9, Oakland 93.8. It's over. Like, the closest team that doesn't have a 0.1% chance of making the playoffs is the Mariners. They have a 5.8% chance. In other words... It's over. The playoffs. Now, you could say Oakland may catch the Astros. The Astros might end up being a wild card. But as far as the playoffs are go, AL's done. Yeah. There's no question that it's over with. In the NL, it's a little bit different because the only team that's a pretty much a lock is the Cubs at 99.9. Everybody else, the Dodgers are 83%. Atlanta's 75%. And then the rest, Milwaukee's at 85%. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is 30s, 40s, something like that. So,
boy, Yelich is quietly having one hell of a season. That's Brewers, a huge pickup for the Brewers.
Yeah.
And they went for it. They went for it again because they know as a small market team, it's so tough to sniff the playoffs that they went out and they got Granderson. And they went out and they made a claim on Matt Harvey before they got another starting pitcher. They're trying to go for it again. They don't have enough to go far, I don't think, should they even get a wild card. But it's a great story, and it's a fun to see a small market team at least being there in the mix. Because those two teams in the National League West that aren't going to make it are going to be pretty good baseball teams.
Man, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, there's a lot of teams in the NL that aren't going to make it that are good. I mean, not great, but I mean, even when you consider the Nats, they're done. They're not going to make it. That's still a good baseball
team,
even though
they're playing spoilers too. They're winning games. Yeah. They're doing things. And the other thing is, who'd have thought that Paul Goldschmidt getting off to the slow start that he got off to, and when the Astros played him early, they were like, God, what happened? He's having a horrible year. he's now in the MVP conversation for what he's doing with Arizona.
So. Yeah, so you've got Arizona game and a half back of the Rockies. The Dodgers a half game back. One of those teams probably isn't making the playoffs for sure. St. Louis is only 5.5 back of the Cubs. That's a pretty good baseball team.
Who'd have thought they would have been there a couple months ago, too?
Philly's 4 back of the Braves, but it looks like, you know, whoever wins that, the East is probably going to be the only team. So you may have the Braves make the playoffs, and the Phillies, as good as they've done all year, not making the playoffs. So, like you said, a lot of teams in the NL that aren't going to be in the playoffs that are good.
Yep, and good fun baseball to watch going down the stretch. That's what baseball wanted when they got these wild cards. So we'll continue to watch that. And watch the Astros tonight, as I mentioned, Verlander on the hill, game 2 against the Twins. We'll be back with a whole lot more. 30 minutes to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects at SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
30 minutes to go on the big show. We appreciate you along for the ride. We're on ESPN 97.5 as well as SportsMap 94.1. It's Barry, it's Joel, and Tyler filling in for Nick on a Tuesday. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7.
This is never good.
Uh-oh.
So I'm trying to get slim and trim. There's rumblings that you and I be got some things in the works that I need to be skinny for.
Okay.
My wife sends me a text, 3:21. I'm so hungry. You know what that means, right?
Yep.
Like, we're going out somewhere, and it's going to be
bad
a bloodbath.
Bad food, baby.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
And dessert.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be ugly.
Even if you get off on the light side, it's frozen yogurt. But one way or another, you're deserting it tonight.
And I did good. I lost 2 pounds on the road, which is easy to do when all you eat is sandwiches and eggs. That's it.
And live in your car.
That's my road life. No, I didn't live in the car.
Well, it sounded like it, based on you said that what it looked like on the inside of the that cab.
Oh, yeah, it's a wreck. Boy. It's a mess. Still is.
I'm still driving a rental car, and that same thing. Like, Lisa's mom's in town, and they're like, well, we can just take the rental car. I'm like, looking at Lisa going, no, we can't. I'm not going to be doing that. And she's like, why? Then she goes out in the garage. She goes, good Lord, what are you? I go, it's a rental car. I'm in and out. I don't care.
You know, like, you'll know when I'm on the road, because you'll get in my truck, and it smells like fast food and shame. It's just, there's wrappers and cups. And
when you told the story of getting pulled over, though.
Just random French fries laying around places.
The one thing that concerned me was, isn't it a ticket in other places, too, if you're driving barefoot?
I've heard that. Dude never said a word. And it's not like he just looked at my feet because they were just on the floorboard.
Yeah.
But my shoes were in
the
passenger
seat. That's
what
you said. That's what I'm saying. In a lot of places, if you're driving without your shoes on, that's a ticket.
Why? What kind of dumbass?
I don't know.
What kind of reason could you give?
I feel like driving in like flip-flops is...
would be more of a reason to give a ticket than barefoot.
Then get stuck on the pedal, something.
Why? But, you know what? Here's the other thing. Ironically, when they say you're falling asleep at the wheel, you should take your shoes off because the stimulation is most at the bottom of your feet, and that will keep you awake and more alert.
I tried that because you had said this before on the air, I tried that. Yeah, and I it worked.
Really?
Yeah. I had, like, coming home last night, I took my shoes off and woke me up a little bit. I'll
never try and throw that stuff.
I also had a regular Coke because they didn't give me a Diet Coke at McDonald's. So the sugar and the caffeine may have had something to do with that too. But I'm curious if we have any law enforcement. I know we do. I'm curious if they can validate it either through a phone call or a text, 713-780-3776. Is that true that it's a ticket if you're driving barefoot? I want to know because I've always heard that. But I've never gotten an answer. I don't know if that's true. I've always felt like it's just like an urban legend and not real. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like I was going to say, we've got a lot of intelligent suspects out there for the most part, and that always give us good information. But I'd be curious because I had heard that for a long time.
Yep.
That you can't drive without shoes on.
Yep.
Or that you have to have like the main foot if you're going to have that shoe off.
Really? Like, you have one?
Yeah, you have to keep it down on your floorboard so that if you get pulled over, you got to put your shoe on real quick.
Are you a 2-foot driver or a 1?
Well, unless you're manual, to me, it's just a 1-foot thing.
No. Some people on the brake pedal will use their left foot,
not
and
me.
The gas they use their right.
Not me.
Are you a two-footer or a one-footer,
no,
Tyler?
No, learn the correct way.
The one, yeah.
Which is a one-foot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, one-foot unless you have a clutch.
That's what I said. Otherwise, you're driving manual.
But some people will just brake with their left foot, gas with their right. It's the weirdest thing.
That's not.
Yeah, I know.
Not smart.
I know. That's like
I remember learning.
That's like baked beans versus Boston baked beans. It's just stupid.
I remember when my dad was teaching me to drive, and you could just hear him punching the floorboard with his one foot. Like, I'd be going too fast, and he'd be hitting the brake on the passenger side, like, on the floorboard. I'm like, Dad's not going to stop the car.
Not helping.
No.
My stepmother is like that. We drove out to my step-uncle passed away. We had to drive. I rode out with my dad and my stepmom to the funeral this past week, or the weekend before. And my stepmom, worst backseat driver, she gives you the old up. She'll just grab the dashboard for no reason and stomp her brake. And my dad was just like, yeah, that ain't going to slow this down at all. You know that, right? Like, I called my wife on the way there and said, I found someone worse than you as far as backseat drivers go. I know that amazes. Is Lisa bad?
Oh, yeah.
About telling you where to go?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Nora's
well, like, she can tell me where to go even when we're not driving. But at the same time, yeah, she is definitely.
Is she the, well, just go around, slow down, let them go, move over, turn right here. No, get over in the other lane. Is that Lisa?
Yeah.
No, I think that's every wife. I really feel like.
Can you not give her that look? Do you know you have a daughter now? You can't have the road rage anymore. You have Taylor, and she wants us to be around for a long time. And I'm like, well, then a-holes shouldn't be so stupid on the road.
If I had a nickel for every time my wife said, you're going to get shot, I could buy a bulletproof vest. I'd have enough money to get me some Kevlar for the whip. It is, oh, it's annoying. This was a follow-up from yesterday. Somebody asked, did you hear Eminem's record? He disses so many rappers, maybe a Way Back Wednesday theme for y'all. Diss songs or controversy songs. I think we've done that, right?
Yeah.
Because something happened.
Oh, we do
happened.
Have to pick a Way Back Wednesday,
yeah, we
too.
Do. But I did listen to Kamikaze, Eminem's
did
new
you?
Album.
I was going to ask you, because Clarence is all over it. I've had several people give it very rave reviews, but I was curious if you guys had listened to it yet.
So my assessment of it is it has its moments, but you can really tell that he's trying to stay relevant. It smacks of desperation because he's trying to blend his style with the new era of hip hop, the slower, not necessarily trap beats and stuff like that, but it sounds like him trying to stay relevant. He doesn't auto-tune much, but he's trying to sound like there's a little bit of Drake. There's a little bit of trap, and it just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit Eminem's style.
So you're not a fan.
I mean, I'll listen to, there's a couple of really good songs, but overall, no, I didn't. I would probably give it like a 6 out of 10, maybe.
You heard it, Tyler?
A 5 out of 10.
I have not, no.
Okay. You're not an Eminem fan?
I mean, I am, but I just haven't really.
I'll tell you
had
this.
The time to dive into it.
Last night, driving home, I was listening to XM Satellite Rock the Bells, and it was probably, I don't know, 11:30 at night or whatever, and LL Cool J was interviewing Eminem, and Eminem he was asking him about, well, how'd you get started? What did you do? And he's telling his story, and he kept talking about, I just wanted to quit. I just wanted to quit. So LL asked him, he's like, what kept you going? Like, you keep talking about wanting to quit. And he's like, I don't know. Every time I would get ready to quit and just say, forget it, there would something small would happen that would give me that spark to keep going. And I found it fascinating because when you look at the career, when you look at it, then you think, why would you ever think of quitting? But I think even the best at some point, because so many people assume when Eminem makes it that he just made it. They don't realize the grind that you go through
right. Year
after year. Like, there's an old saying in show business, it takes 20 years to become an overnight success. And there's along the way, for me, for a guy like me who's 5 years into comedy, driving back from Wichita, Kansas.
Go back and watch the documentary, remember?
Yeah.
With Jimmy,
yeah,
Iovine, and Dre, and figure out how crazy it was that Eminem was discovered.
Right. I mean, like I said, for a guy like me, driving back from Wichita, Kansas at midnight, who's chasing a comedy dream, it was good to hear that, because you need to hear that. Like, you're like, what the hell am I doing? My wife is at home. She's missing me. What am I doing? And then you hear something like that, and you're like, you know what? I should stick with it. I should just keep grinding and see what happens, because a guy like that, man, he said at one point he was being interviewed by Rolling Stone. It was after his first big hit dropped. The guy from Rolling Stone was interviewing him. They walked up to his trailer. He said, show me where you live. He was living in a trailer. In the trailer, he got evicted. Like, it got they repossessed the trailer and all of his stuff that was in it. So he walks up with a guy from Rolling Stone and can't get in his own trailer.
Was his first song My Name Is?
I think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. If you get a chance to listen to that, it's a good interview as well. So
cool. We're ready for a break.
Yeah, let's do it.
I was gonna hit you up with the fact too that I don't know if you had seen this or not, but there was also an article that I saw this morning where Drake has always kind of had a little bit of innuendo that he and Kim K have had a little bit of a thing, mm-hmm. and now people started piecing together lyrics and things from Drake's albums to say that there may be more truth to it than people want to believe. Based on some of the things in some of the songs, but it was a very interesting Ooh. Read. Yeah.
Okay. You're going to tweet out the link or something?
I will tweet out the link.
All right. Yeah. Somebody suggested it's not required to wear shoes to drive in Texas. You can drive without shoes, no issue. I don't know if these are actual law enforcement or whatever. Hey guys, been in San Antonio and Dallas the last few weeks. Still listen every day on the app via podcast. Hands down, favorite show on the radio. Keep up the good work. Thank you, sir. And then the last text that I'll read right now. I'm so sick of Barry talking about starting another diet. He sounds like a woman. You know what? Just because I want to lose
School's
weight.
School's back in. I didn't know where you were going there.
Yeah. Don't be a hater. We all have our, you know, we all have our things.
Vices?
Yeah. All right. Mine is I want to look sexy.
I thought yours was Miami.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you so much.
We'll be back. One segment to go on the big show. It's The Usual Suspects.
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby, baby.
How you living, Biggie Smalls?
In mansion and Benz's, giving ends to my friends, and it feels stupendous, tremendous.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show. We appreciate you bringing us along on the way you go on your Tuesday. Feels like a Monday. It is Barry and Joel. Nick's out today, back tomorrow. Tyler filling in. We appreciate him. He's had this on the schedule for quite a while, and he came up big in a pinch, so we appreciate him. We got Clarence on the board. Mm-hmm. I had mentioned this. Mm-hmm. He has a little different view than you do about Eminem. He has been singing its praises and trying to convince me of the greatness of this album since it released. Clarence, what's up, man?
What up, guys?
What's up, brother?
Nothing much. Okay. You got to look at it from a different point of view, Barry.
I do?
I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm looking at it from the point of view that Eminem is shooting 50%. With his last four albums. He'll have a bad one, then a good one. Then the bad one, then this one is a good one. This album is all about him talking trash about every single person who talked trash about the previous album, including me, because I thought it wasn't up to par of what I think Eminem is. That album was not good at all. So I appreciate this album for what it's worth and why I'm putting it on a higher pedestal than what some people probably think it is.
I couldn't even name you one song off of his last album. I couldn't. I mean, the last song I remember Eminem releasing that was any good was like Rap God or something like that.
Well, he had a song with Beyonce on there, and that turned me off immediately.
You don't like Beyonce?
You just don't like the combination?
It's the combination that's just not good. Mm. Her and her husband, her and Jay-Z, yeah, you know, y'all are married, y'all click. But her and Eminem is two different styles, it's two different, it's just not, I don't see Beyonce as a collaborator with rappers.
Okay.
Rihanna, yeah. Anyone else in?
Well, we appreciate the call.
Rihanna is a collaborator.
You're not convincing me that the Eminem album is great. It's not. I said it was a 6 out of 10. I didn't give it a 5. It's not completely average. There was some moments on it, but it just wasn't great for me.
So it's a better percentage than OU Mike?
Yeah, way better percentage than OU
Mike. Okay.
Somebody else said, Barry, you're missing the point. I'm not a big Eminem fan, but it's a good project. The trap beats and rhyme patterns are making fun of current rap. No. I don't feel like he's talking about that the whole time. I mean, he's shooting shots at everybody, but that gets old, too.
Our resident Eminem fan said that he is.
Who?
John. Taking shots at everybody. John was bumping.
He said that he's making fun of the trap beats and stuff.
John, you were bumping back with it on Friday, were you not? Yeah, so you're a fan of it? Yeah, John likes it.
I got to tell you, where's the one song that I really liked was it was Lucky You. Best song on there.
I've heard more of...
And you know why it was the best song? Because Joyner Lucas was legit on that song. And Eminem was... me neither. But I was listening to it driving. I went, oh, dude, damn, this dude can flow. And then that was it. That was the best part.
I've heard more of Machine Gun Kelly, his diss track or his response track than I have heard the Eminem stuff.
That's what I've heard as well. Yeah, I heard.
So there's already response tracks to Eminem's album?
Yeah, because apparently since he calls people out, then this guy, Machine Gun Kelly, he kind of came up. He's a white guy rapper, mm-hmm. covered in tattoos, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That's a shock.
He apparently did not like what Eminem had to say, and a lot of people are saying that what he put out has bodied Eminem, as the kids say.
I haven't heard it. I think I'll listen to it. I will have more info tomorrow. Okay. I'll listen to his response tonight. Because I don't even, to be honest with you, I was trying to listen to all of this different, because he goes after so many different people and every single song. I couldn't keep up. I was like, I don't know who the hell he's talking about this time. I have no idea.
Because in the past, he was quick to give props to his favorite MCs and people that paved the groundwork for him.
I heard him mention Master Ace. He mentioned Cool G Rap, I believe, at one point. So, yeah, he is throwing, he is throwing it back a little bit.
And he's helped guys a lot. Like, he brought up Yellow Wolf. He put him on his label.
Yeah. Dude, 50 Cent.
Yeah.
50 for sure.
So,
yeah, I mean, I'm curious. I'm definitely going to give it a listen. But I've heard mixed reviews. I had heard a lot of positives, and now, Barry, you poo-pooed all over that. Now I'm going to have to be more open-minded.
Okay.
We'll check it out.
Somebody was asking if I'd heard the Machine Gun Kelly. No. It's called Rap Devil. That's the clapback. I get it. Oh, Rap God, Rap Devil. Okay. Mike said, of course they did, Joel. The Kardashians, Virginia, has had more black entertainers in it than the Apollo Theater. That is...
Wow. Talk about shots fired late in the show.
Goodness
gracious. You Mike, bringing it back.
Why couldn't you have made that call?
He's bringing that average up.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he totally is. All right, Way Back Wednesday suggestion for tomorrow.
Well, we got it.
Yeah, artists, their first song from an artist that made them popular. We could do that. That's pretty much it. I mean, you could pick an artist.
You know the technicalities they're going to be called on the carpet?
Yeah, well...
Well, you know, there was that one that he released that didn't put on an album. That was his first song. That doesn't count. We're going to fight about it all 3 hours.
But he just said that made him famous. So use that.
Their first song that got... you can't put...
But Machine Gun Kelly, man. I mean...
I'm sorry. I take it you're out on this idea.
We'll talk about it.
Okay. Just text me what you want to do.
Even Nick got me on that technique last week. So I don't want to get into all that. Okay. So tomorrow's a Way Back Wednesday. I think before we get to the opener for the Texans and the Patriots, we got to get Sarah Barshop on. I heard you guys talking about that.
We're going to work on getting Sarah
Barshop on there. Maybe a visit from Blummer before the end of the week as well.
Cody Stutes might join us.
Okay. So we're going to get some things going for you between now and the end of the week, but we do want you prepared for finishing strong. Nick is back tomorrow. Tyler, we always appreciate you.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for filling in and having some fun with us. And thank you guys as well for taking us along on the ride. So we'll talk to you on a Way Back Wednesday tomorrow and turn it over to the Blitz for now. So John, Fred, AJ, they're next. They'll take you till 7. For Tyler and Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have yourself a great night, and we'll hit you again tomorrow on The Usual Suspects. Jump.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.